I ask you to turn in your Bible to a passage of Scripture in the 11th chapter of John, and you know the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and it's a wonderful story and a wonderful miracle that Jesus did. I'd like to read just a few of the verses in that chapter and a couple verses in the next. Sister Hofflander mentioned something that I'd like to go back to also, about consecration, about surrender, about giving everything, not half consecration, but full consecration to Jesus. And I hope you understand what I try to say. At the beginning of the chapter, you find it says that Lazarus was sick. And he was from Bethany in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And this Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one who you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." When I read that recently, that verse struck me. This sickness is not unto death. There's a purpose in it. The purpose is that I want God to be glorified. Jesus is going to be glorified through this situation. And so the story goes on, and I'm sure you know it. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days more, and the disciples said, "Let's go back to Judea." But Rabbi, they said, a short time, and let me skip over that. After he said this in verse 11, Jesus said, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get better." Now that's not the case in this meeting. If you sleep, you will not get better. If you fall asleep the way that Lazarus did, well, then there's nothing anybody can do about it. But you understand there was a lot of misunderstanding, and all through the chapter of John 11, there's a lot of misunderstanding. It's that way a lot of times in the ministry of Jesus when he was here on earth. A lot of the things that he did, a lot of the things that he said were very much misunderstood. It was that way with Nicodemus, remember? How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? It was confusing to Nicodemus. He didn't understand. At the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, when Jesus said, "Fill the water," it was confusing. People didn't understand what Jesus was mentioning when the transfiguration took place. And Peter, James, and John were on that mountain with Elijah, and Moses came down. Yes, that's what I think it was. And you remember Peter said, let's build three, I don't know what they were, teepees, tentels, lean-tos. Let's build three little places, for one for you, Jesus, one for Moses and Elijah. And it says in one of the Gospels that Peter said that because he didn't know what to say. What do you say when you don't know what to say? Usually something dumb. We don't know what to say, but we think we have to say something, and so we come up with whatever it may be. And sometimes when it comes especially to what's going on in the kingdom of God or the things of Christ, we don't get it so quick. It takes us a long time to understand. And that's why we need to pray a lot. "Lord, teach me, show me. I don't understand." The natural man, the natural mind will never understand, and especially when it's the first time around and you're just living the writing of the Gospels, you're living the accounts, and Jesus, his ways are not anywhere near your ways, his thoughts are not anywhere congruent with your thoughts, they're so far higher than yours, and you're trying to wrap your brain around the concepts that he's introducing, and you're not getting it. And here Jesus says to these friends of his disciples, "Lazarus, he's fallen asleep." Well, that's good if he fell asleep. And then Jesus goes on and he says plainly in verse 14, I don't mean that he's not that kind of sleep. He's dead. Lazarus is dead. And again, now he reiterates what he kind of said at the beginning of the chapter. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Now let's go where he is. Let's go to him. You remember back at the beginning, this sickness is not unto death, but this sickness, it's that God may be glorified. That's what Jesus was generally interested in doing when he was here on earth. Whatever he said and whatever he did, it was never to try to get a congregation or a following or people. He never tried to do whatever he did for that. It was always only for the glory of his Father. The words that I speak, they're not my own words. They're only the words that my Father tells me to say. The things that I do, I'm not doing them because I want to do them. What I'm doing because my Father wants me to do it. And everything I say and everything that I do, Jesus would say, and he did, all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Now that should not be any different for you or for me. Everything that we do, everything that we say, our deeds, our actions, our worship, our in church and our out of church, should all be for the glory of God. And when it stops being for the glory of God, we've gotten a little off track. We then can't say it only to be what he wants me to be or to be like Jesus, because Jesus was never in it for himself. And if singing in the choir, if being this or that or the other, whatever it might be, it's for your glory. Jesus taught about that in the Sermon on the Mount. You have your reward. If you're doing it to be seen of men, God bless you. That's all you're going to get out of it. But everything we're taught in the Bible, not just here, but all over the Bible, we're taught that we are to do what we do, say what we say. Now, that's a lifetime pursuit, I think. It's not an easy 1, 2, 3 lesson. We need to learn his ways. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because how can you know the mind of Christ? How can you know what he wants? Paul says, John says, we have the mind of Christ, but it just doesn't come by, you know, you can't Google it and order it. It comes by waiting on him. It comes by sitting in his presence. It comes by learning Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And if I'm going to do what he wants me to do, all for his glory. You can serve tables for the glory of God. You can wash dishes for the glory of God. Brother Tom's not here, is he? I remember when he was clearing out that handball court down there at the other end of the, you know, down in the village. If you haven't seen it, take a look at it on Sunday when you're down there, if you're here over the weekend. You go down there, I think it's still there. Maybe it's not. I haven't looked in a long time. But that was a hard job. I remember talking to Tom about it and clearing it off. And I don't know if he did it by himself or there was machinery or helper or I don't know what. But I know it was hard. I know there were rocks. There were maybe trees. It was not easy to do. And in that corner of that, is it still there? Does it stay all for Jesus? Is it moved up here now? I don't know where they put it, but it was down there and may be there now. But in the corner, it used to be by the handball court, all for Jesus. All for Jesus. You know, that's a blessing to me. Because Tommy taught me, Brother Tom, excuse me. He's kind of my, you know, Tommy when he's not here camping in church. But Brother Tom has taught me that you can clear out a handball court. You can work and work hard and sweat and expend your energy, and you can do it all for Jesus. And that's the way we are to live, and we are to live every moment of every day, living for Jesus. Well, that was Jesus' testimony. Let's get back to the story here. I'm glad you weren't there. I'm glad you weren't there, disciples, that when he died, so that you may believe. God's going to be glorified in this. It's going to be a good thing in the long run. And then Thomas, called Didymus. I don't know why he would ever be called Didymus. I would call him Thomas. But Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now, why would Thomas say that? Why did he say that? Did he not know what he was saying? It doesn't say that in the scriptures. I kind of think he didn't understand something yet. But I agree with Thomas wholeheartedly. That statement, I like it. and maybe not in the context of the story, but I like it right now tonight for my context. And I would wish that it would be the case that every one of us would say, oh, let's go die with Lazarus. Let's go die with him. Let's go die to the self that we were, to the life that we have. Let's die to that life so that we can be raised with newness of life to the glory of God and live and walk in a new way, in a new life, that God can be more greatly glorified through our lives. Let's all go die with Lazarus. That would be a good thing. And Thomas, he says that, and I don't know that he understood what he was saying. So they get out to where Mary and Martha were, and you know the exchange between Mary and Martha, and if you were here, my brother had not died. I am the resurrection and the life. Didn't I say if you would believe that you would see the glory of God? And there again, the glory of God. It's the glory of God that I'm interested in. It's the glory of God that I want to see manifest. This sickness is for the glory of God. I'm glad that I wasn't with you, disciples, that we weren't there, because I want God to be glorified. And Mary and Martha, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would too see the glory of God? So they go out to where the sepulcher is. And Jesus tells them to roll away the stone. And then the sister says, oh, by this time it's been 4 days and he stinketh, and remove the stone. And they finally got around to removing that stone. And then Jesus, as you remember the story, cries out in a loud voice. And he says, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Now, up until this time, as far as we know, in the Bible at least, Lazarus was a nice, good man who Jesus loved. He had a couple sisters and they loved him too. I don't know how much God was being glorified in him. There may have been some desire for the Lord and love for the Lord and all the rest of that went on in Lazarus. But until he died and was raised again, God wasn't being as greatly glorified in him before as opposed to after. Did that make sense? I started in one track and came in through another door, and I don't know if it all made sense. God was more greatly glorified after Lazarus was raised from the dead than before he ever was. You know, and every one of us, we're taught in the Bible that we are to die to ourselves. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, what Paul meant there was not physical. But he meant his will, his desires, his consecration wasn't half, it was complete. There was a total surrender and a total givenness to Jesus Christ. Not just a part or half of my heart, but I will give all to thee. And I don't think that God is greatly glorified in anyone who hasn't yet been crucified with Christ. When we mix part of our life with part of his life, he may be partially glorified, but maybe that's not he being glorified at all. Because to him belongs all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And to the degree that we die with him, I suppose it's so that that's the degree that we can be raised together with him. And we are to be buried with Christ by baptism into his death. We are to be raised together. And that idea and that concept of my life, me, I need to die to myself, is something that, as Sister Hofflander said, is not very popular, even in Christian communities, maybe in your life and in your heart. It's not a concept that we like to entertain, because death to self hurts. Who wants to die to their own lives also? Who wants to take up their cross every single day? I mean, once would be enough, but Jesus said, if you love your life, you're going to lose your life, but if you lose your life, you're going to find your life. And then he taught them that they are supposed to take up their cross every single day. every single day, I'm to say with Thomas, let's go die. Let's go die to ourselves. Let's go die to our old life. Let's go die so that through our lives, he can be more greatly glorified. That we can reflect more his life, not ours, but his life in us. We sang earlier that beautiful song, Lord, live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. And maybe the Lord answers back and he said, I wish I could, but you're too alive. You need to first die to yourself. You need to die not only to sin, but to self. You need to die to your own life also. And unless you do, Jesus said, you really cannot be my disciple. I don't care how you do in church or what you do in church. If you haven't died to yourself, you can't be my disciple. If you haven't taken up your cross and follow me, then you cannot be my disciple. You're not part with me in this thing. And so Lazarus is dead. But Jesus says, this is going to be for the glory of God. And I believe that when I die and when you die and when what's dead stays dead, it's a story my Uncle Frank Poster used to tell repeatedly. He talked about it. I don't think this is true, but he never told us that it wasn't. So by the story, maybe you can figure that it's not true, but he never said, by the way, this is just a story I heard and it's not true. So maybe it was true. But he talked about a man that walked home from his work. Every day he went through the cemetery. And sometimes, you know, it's quiet and peaceful. Some people go to the cemetery to pray, meditate, just sit around, enjoy it. It's pretty. And this man walked through. It was a shortcut, and he sat by a tree one day, and he was a carpenter by trade, and he had worked hard that day, and he sat, leaned against the tree, and he fell asleep. And so when he woke up, it was getting a little bit dark at night, and there, not too far away from him, was an open grave. I mean, the dirt was still out, and the casket was put in, and the man noticed that, and he just sat there and kind of just trying to get himself together before he would get up. And all of a sudden, he heard some rustling down there in that hole, and 6 feet down. He heard something move. Now, I don't know what you would have done if that was you. I know what I would have done. Feet don't fail me now. And I would have been out of there in a heartbeat. But that man, if I could get up from not being paralyzed from fear. But that man got up, and he took out his hammer, and he jumped into that hole. And took out a nail. And he took that nail, and he drove it into that top of the coffin, the casket. And as he hit that nail, he said, what's dead must stay dead. The poor guy might have been alive in there, and he's nailed it shut. But what's dead must... And my Uncle Frank, again, he never told me that story wasn't true. Said, do you believe it?
Yeah.
I don't. But if you believe it, that's good. And whether it was true or not, I got the point. I got the point. When you die with Christ, when you're buried with Christ, sometimes there are, I guess Spurgeon would call them the motions of sin. I don't know what you call them. You call them the world, the flesh, and the devil, that baser sort somehow or other. It's not really annihilated altogether, if it ever is. And somehow or other, it has a tendency to resurrect, and you need to die daily. And you may have died a year ago, 6 months ago, 20 years ago. I ask you tonight, are you still dead? And if you're not still dead, I'll tell you another thing. God's not being glorified in you as he'd like to be. And the moment you and I die with Christ, let's go die with him, Thomas said. Good idea. Let's go die with him. And let's die tomorrow again. And let's die the next day to ourselves. And let's be buried. And Jesus went into that graveyard and he called Lazarus, come forth. I guess it was not too long ago. I said to the people in church, we had a visitor that came in. And I was preaching from John 11. This was years ago. Tony Paskowitz brought a friend of his. And he was sitting there in the meeting. And I started with this chapter. And I got to this place. Lazarus, come forth! I didn't know, but the guy's name was Lazarus. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know if he was supposed to come forth or if he was supposed to sit there. And afterwards he told me, I don't know what you meant, but my name's Lazarus. Well, then, and I don't know what became of him, and he's gone. But the first time, and probably last time that'll ever happen to me. But if you're Lazarus here, I don't think anybody is. I know your name, so nobody's Lazarus. But Lazarus, come forth! And he which was dead, died, that God might be glorified, that the Son might be glorified. And that fella came like the Easter Bunny. Bound hand, he came hopping out. I don't know how else he could have gotten out. He came out, bound, I think it's his hand and foot, right? If your feet are bound and your hands are bound, how are you coming out of the tomb? I guess that way. And you got something around your face. And here he is. Here he comes. Again, their feet don't fail me now. But everybody just stood there. I guess they stood there. Jaw dropped. Stunned. Amazed. They looked. Lazarus didn't have to say a whole lot. He just was there. Popped out. Here I am. And finally Jesus said, and I don't know how long it took. I wonder sometimes, between the two verses there, you don't know what's going on. Was it a second? Was it a minute? Maybe he stood there 10 minutes. I don't know. People. Nobody did anything. Nobody moved until Jesus said, loose him. The poor guy, I mean, after all. Loose him. Loose him and let him go. Loose, let him go where? Just let him go. I don't care where he goes. Because once you have died, once you have died and you are no longer, you are buried. It didn't matter where the Apostle Paul went. It didn't matter where he went. If he went to Macedonia or Ephesus or wherever, it didn't matter where he went. If he went to jail, it didn't matter where he went. Wherever the Apostle Paul went, because he had died and was raised together with Christ, and now he walked in newness of life, wherever he went, he glorified God. And it could have been different for Paul if what was dead didn't stay dead, but by the grace of God, it stayed dead. And he said, I die daily. Every single day, not only do I hear what Jesus said, but I'm going to take that word that he said seriously, applying it to my own life. I'm going to die every single day. And wherever the apostle went, and I don't know that he ever even needed to use words, at least all the times. Sometimes just his presence, that's the guy. That's the guy. That's the guy, that old life. But that old life is gone. That old life is buried. That old life is dead. And he's a new person. He's a new creation. Old things passed away. And wherever he went, he was a testimony. He was a blessing. And it was all for the glory of God. And the apostle said, I don't care what goes on with me anymore. As long as Christ is being glorified, whether it's by my life or by my death, I don't care. Arrest me. Beat me. Do what you got to do to me. I don't care as long as he's being glorified. Glorified. And that's the way you should live. I should live with that passion. Oh Lord, that your name may be glorified in me and through me. And it'll never, I don't believe it will ever happen until you and I are willing to take up our cross. Till you and I are ready for our full, complete, total, absolute surrender where you die. You die to yourself.
Yes,
sir. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Apostle Paul's words put it this way. What do you want me to do? Jesus put it this way. What do you want me to do? And you and I send up to heaven our agenda and expect him to sign off on it, and it doesn't work that way. Send up a blank page and say, Lord, fill it out. What do you want me to do? Only to be what you want me to be, because I am no more. I live the life of the Son of God. I live for Jesus, for his glory, for his honor. Let me just finish quickly. Lazarus came out bound hand and foot, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. You know, that may be some of the problem with maybe with me, with you. We're kind of bound up. You ever find that way? You got life. I mean, new life, resurrection life, the life of Christ. But if something holds you back, something binds you up. And Jesus wants to loose us, free us from our, whatever it might be, our inhibitions, ourselves, our fears. And he wants to, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, I don't know what you equate as the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I think you could make a case that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was boldness. Boldness to proclaim the Word of God. Peter wasn't afraid of his own shadow. Peter wasn't afraid of anything. He stood up on a soapbox on the day of Pentecost and he boldly proclaimed and said to the people that he should have been afraid of, he said, you took him and you put him on a tree. And unless you repent, Oh, where did he get that boldness from? Where did he get loosed and let go? By the power of the Holy Spirit that dwelled in him. And that's why we go back and always go back and always harp on and get back to the same thing. Die with Christ. Live for Jesus. But how do you live that life? You don't do it in your own strength. You do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's the power of the Holy Spirit that looses us and lets us go. Until they were filled with the Holy Ghost, those men, those 12 men or those 120 in the upper room, they weren't loosed and let go. Jesus said, don't go anyplace. Tarry, stay, wait, until. And after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. They were loosed and they were let go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And those 12 men, the testimony came back, those 12 men turned the world upside down. Why? Because they died. Because they died to themselves, their will. Their passions, their ideas, their everything. They just died and were buried with Christ in the life that they now live. They lived by the faith of the Son of God. Let's just, for a moment, go back to Lazarus. Look what happens with him. People get all upset and get mad. They want to kill Lazarus again. It's amazing. It says that after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that many of them believed when they saw that Lazarus was raised from the dead. That's amazing to me. It doesn't say all of them believed. How could you not believe? Jesus calls the man out of the grave. The man comes bouncing out hand and foot, loosed and let go. And there are people that still doubt. And it'll be that way with you and it'll be that way with anybody else. People won't always believe. But some did. Some believed. In the 12th chapter, you find at the beginning of the chapter, they're having a party. It's okay to have a party once in a while. You like parties? Somebody was telling me that we should have a party after a meeting. I thought, that I don't understand that. No, why? You know, we should go up there and have a party. Don't we? They said, don't we do that? I said, no. At least, I don't remember that we do that. Maybe the thing with Memorial Day on the Saturday night or whatever it was. But that's not the kind of party I'm talking about. I'm having a party here tonight, aren't you? No? Anybody having a party? You are? Okay, I'm glad. Lola's with me. We're having a party. This is good. They've had a party, and it was in honor of Jesus. Mary, Martha, Lazarus was there. They were having a party in the honor of Jesus because, after all, the one who raised you from the dead, you should have a party, at least in his honor. You should invite some people around to say, hey, get to know him. He's the one that raised me from the dead. This is why I'm like I am. It's okay to have a party for Jesus. Invite him as the honored guest. And then that incident takes place at the beginning of the chapter where they pour out the perfume and the expensive perfume. But it goes on. Verse 9, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and they came. Not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, that God may be glorified. And God was being glorified in Lazarus. I wonder when the last time somebody wanted to see you, because they heard that you were raised from the dead, that you don't live anymore, that Christ made you a new creation, and they want to talk to you. They want you to give to them a reason for the hope that lies in you. You go on in the story and you find again and again one other place at least, and I don't know where it actually is, but one other place it says that some believed, others believed, some didn't believe. But Lazarus, because of what Jesus had done for him, now was different in his life in that it was now attracting people to Jesus. That's what we want to be. Others can see Jesus in me. Others can be drawn. Now, before, he was a nice guy. I grant you that. His sisters loved him. Jesus loved him. Good man. Good upstanding citizen in the community. But something changed after he died and was raised again. Now there were people that wanted to see because of what Jesus had done. They wanted to see what Christ had done. And they glorified God in Lazarus. And then in closing, as Jesus goes on, he says in the 12th chapter, does Jesus... The hour, verse 23, and let me just read it and close quickly. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is Jesus talking now. Not talking about Lazarus. This is now Jesus speaking. It's now time for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, Jesus says. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. And then Jesus says, my heart's troubled over this. But what can I say, Father? Save me from this hour? No! No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. It's not easy to die. It's not easy for Lazarus, I don't suppose. People wanted him to get help. Raise him. Don't let him die. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and when he got to the garden, he prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want, that you may be glorified, because Jesus was all about glorifying his Father. And he went to the cross, and he died. But except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And you can go through your whole life, and you can amass and accumulate and achieve, and whatever you do, you do. But I don't know what kind of fruit there will be unless you fall into the ground, unless you fall into the ground and die. But when you and I are willing to die, to consecrate, to surrender, to yield our all to the Master, then he can raise us and use us and glorify his Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't try to young or old. Don't try to save your life. Don't hold on to it. Don't do it your way. Do it his way. It's best for him to have his way with thee. And that may be a hard thing. It's a hard thing to die to yourself. It's never easy. It doesn't seem as if it were ever easy here in the Bible and in the Apostle. It's not an easy road, but thank God he gives us grace to where he is, so shall my servant be. And he was on his way to an old cross. And he calls every one of us to die also. And so I close with Thomas's, maybe out of the way question, maybe a misunderstood understand. I don't know what he was coming from, but I like it. Let's all go die with Lazarus. Let's all go die. What a good idea. I wonder if that could happen tonight, if it hasn't. And if you died to yourself, I wonder if what's dead has stayed dead. I wonder if you've put a few nails down there and said, Jesus, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken. Lord, I'm not going to go back to that old. I'm going to be crucified with you, and I'm going to live for you. And I want my life to glorify you. Oh, Lord, help me. It's not easy, guys, girls. It's not easy. It sometimes takes a long time. I think it does. I think it did for me. Till I finally got to the place where I was willing to really die. Oh, give my heart to Jesus so I don't go to hell one day and get saved. Yeah, that's all right. That's good. Try to be better and help out here and do this and teach that and sing in that choir. Yeah, oh, do all that stuff. But really to die to yourself. When you have the ambition to be a garbage collector and you finally are willing to say, okay, I'm going to lay that down. Or whatever it is. If it be your will, Lord, to send me o'er the sea, I'll follow thee, though death should come my way. Jesus, use me. Jesus, be glorified in me.